Psalm chapter 33 and verse number 1. Let's stand together, please, if you can. Physically able to, we're going to stand in respect for the scriptures and read Psalm chapter 33, verse 1 to 22. The Bible says there, "Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. Praise the Lord with harp, sing unto him with the psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings. Sing unto him a new song, play skillfully with a loud noise. For the word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth. He loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathereth the waters of the sea together as an heap. He layeth up the depth in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. He maketh the devices of the people of none effect. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever, the thoughts of his heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. The Lord looketh from heaven, he beholdeth all the sons of men. From the place of the habitation he looketh upon all the inhabitants of the earth. He fashioneth their hearts alike, he considereth all their works. There is no king save by the multitude of an host. A mighty man is not delivered by much strength. A horse is a vain thing for safety, neither shall he deliver any by his great strength. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our hearts shall rejoice in him, because we have trusted in his holy name. Let thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us according as we hope in thee." Our key verse, if you'll go back to it, is verse number 8 there. Psalm 33 and verse 8, where the Bible says, "Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him." And from this verse, I take the title of the message, Standing in Awe of God. Standing in awe of God. You know what? God desires that the whole world would stand in awe of him. Let me give you this morning 3 reasons why we should stand in awe of God. And then I want to share with you 3 practical ways of how we can do that, how we can stand in awe of him. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we ask you to speak to us now through your word. Holy Spirit, please meet with us. You live in every believer. You wrote this book. And you know best what we need in our hearts. You know how to speak to us. You know the needs of man's spirit. You know the mind of God. You wrote this book, and you're the one that can bring it all together to give us understanding in our life, to give us a conviction in areas where we need to be convicted. And the Spirit of God, work like only you can work in our midst today. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Why should we stand in awe of God? Why should we stand in awe of God? 3 reasons simply this morning. Number 1, we should stand in awe of his word. I mean this book right here. We should stand in awe of his word. I love this book. I love the Bible. I love the word of God. And I believe that God has given to us his words. I believe that this book that I have here, that I hold in my hands, I believe it's the divinely inspired and preserved words of God to man. It's in this book that we learn of creation. It's in this book that we learn of God's love for us. It's in this book that we learn of God's wonderful plan of redemption and salvation. I love this book right here. Maybe some of you have. I know when we've had our children and when they've been young, we've taught them to just love the Bible. Sometimes we have some songs where maybe they hold the Bible close to themselves and so on. Listen, I love the Bible. The B-I-B-L-E, yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the Word of God, the B-I-B-L-E. I love the Bible. In Psalm 119, verse 89, the Bible says, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." In Psalm chapter 12, and verse 6, it says, "The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace, tried in a furnace of the earth, purified 7 times." 2 Timothy 3:16 says, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God." and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Listen, I believe the book we have is an inspired book, a preserved book, and I love the Bible. I stand in awe of the Word of God. God inspired it. God preserved it. Man is has maybe tried to deny it. The devil has certainly tried to destroy it, but God's Word still stands. Someone wrote this, if someone were to ask you, what's the world's greatest book? Then where in the whole wide world would you begin to look? Would your first answer be the library with 1,000 shelves or more? Or would you hope to find it down at the corner store? Would you think of the so-called classics that you have ever read? Or would the names of famous authors go racing through your head? Could you recite from memory a famous quote or two? Could you remember those precious lines that once meant so much to you? And of all the books that you have read, is there one that you still hold dear? The one that gave you hope and courage or relieved some dreaded fear? Do you remember that title now and the famous author's name? Do you know about his heritage and the place from whence he came? Oh yes, I do remember now. It's the Bible of which you speak. The book that always gave me strength when I was sad and weak. It's the book that gave me comfort in times of sorrow and pain. Yes, it's the world's greatest book. And I think I'll read it again. Hey, I love the Bible. I love the Bible. Why should we stand in awe of God? Number one, we should stand in awe of His Word. This is a wonderful book. I believe that God's Word is perfect. And it's true in all that it says. In Matthew 24:35, it says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. 1 Peter 1:25 says, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. Endureth forever. We can stand in awe of this book. Listen, this is the greatest seller of all time. Man might not like it sometimes. The devil is constantly trying to change it. But this is the greatest book of all time. We can stand in awe of God's word. Stand in awe of God's word. Why should we stand in awe of Him? His word is perfect and true. Number two, we should stand in awe of His works. His works. I believe His works are always just and right and good. Back in Psalm 33, and look what it says there, verse 4 and 5. For the word of the Lord is right, and all His works are done in truth. He loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. Turn with me, if you would, over to Psalm chapter 111, and we're going to read a few other psalms here together. I do not doubt that God is good, and that God is just, and that God is fair. Listen, when you begin to doubt that, you can become a miserable, wretched person. I've met some in my life. I've known some that, you know, some won't be honest about it. I've had some that were honest about it. They're bitter at God, they're angry at God, and they are just a complete miserable person. Listen, we can't doubt the goodness of God and the justice of God, and that God is always right. He is always right in His works toward man. God wants us to stand in awe of His word, but He also wants us to stand in awe of His great works. Again, Psalm chapter 111. Let's begin reading there in verse number 1. The Bible says, praise ye the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. The works of the Lord are great, sought out of all them that have pleasure therein. His work is honorable and glorious, and His righteousness endureth forever. He hath made His wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. He hath given meat unto them that fear Him. He will ever be mindful of His covenant. He has showed His people the power of His works, that He may give them the heritage of the heathen. The works of His hands are verity and judgment. All His commandments are sure. They stand fast forever and ever, and are done in truth and uprightness. Listen, God is just. God is fair. God is right. God is good to us. And God always does what is true and honest. That's one thing we can love about God. He always does what is true and honest. God never lies. God never lies. We ought to stand in awe of His works. When I think of God's great works, I think of His love, and I think of salvation. I think of salvation. That's the greatest work He's ever done. Personally, it affects me in a great, great way. Look with me at Psalm chapter 103, Psalm chapter 103. I'm reminded of God's love and God's mercy and God's grace and God's forgiveness. In Psalm chapter 103, in verse number 1, the Bible says this, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known His ways unto Moses, His acts unto the children of Israel." Verse 8, "The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will He keep His anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us." Wow, God's mercy and God's grace and God's love and God's willingness to forgive us of all our sins. That is one of His greatest works to me. His greatest works is the salvation that He's offered me. Jesus Christ purchased my redemption. He died on the cross to pay the penalty for my sin. That God would love a sinner such as I, how wonderful is love like this. That Jesus Christ would willingly lay down His life on the cross of Calvary so that you and I could be forgiven of all our sins and become children of God and have a home in heaven for all eternity. How wonderful is love like this. Why should we stand in awe of God? Number one, we should stand in awe of His Word because His Word is perfect and true. Number two, we should stand in awe of His works because they are always just and right and good. And number three, we should stand in awe of His great power. Stand in awe of His great power. God's power is awesome. I told some of this recently, I think, or maybe it was at the nursing home I shared this, but maybe a month or so ago in our home, we were sitting down at the dinner table. And I was just maybe wearing a t-shirt or something like this, and I'm not sure what provoked me to do this, but I took my t-shirt up, lifted it up, and just flexed real good there for my kids, and all my girls were there, and the boys were there, and they were all woo, just going crazy, raving over, "Oh, Daddy, you're so strong," and all this. You know what? Our God is strong, mighty strong. I don't know what the reference is right now, but there honestly is a verse in the Old Testament that talks about God bearing His arms. And when I read that verse and thought of that verse, I thought, that is exactly the same thing as what I did there with my kids. It talks about how God wants to bear His arm, and God wants to do what? He wants to flex His muscles and show His power and show how great He is. Show how strong He is. Listen, we have a God of great power. We have a God of great power. I think of power, I think of creation. God spoke His word and everything was created. He made the seas and He made the dry land. He made the mountains and the valleys. He made the great Canadian Rocky Mountains and He made the fertile grounds of Saskatchewan to grow the grains and the wheat and so on to provide food for the land. God made the Great Lakes a source of fresh water for man to drink. God made the sun and the moon and the stars to give us a greater light for day and a lesser light for the nighttime. God made it all. God made every kind of animal, and God provides for them food to eat and places of shelter and protection systems and so on. It's amazing what God's power did. God's creation certainly ought to cause us to stand in awe of our great God. Look with me there at Psalm chapter 104, Psalm chapter 104 and verse number 16. Psalm 104 verse 16. "The trees of the Lord are full of sap." Aren't we glad for the sap that comes from those maple trees? And you can have some genuine Canadian maple syrup. Amen. God is good, right? That sap, it's all part of the system of the trees. But from that, God gave us something sweet and sugary. God is awesome. "He made the trees of the Lord are full of sap, the cedars of Lebanon, which He hath planted. Where the birds make their nests, as for the stork, the fir trees are her house. Now, God has provided shelter and so on for all of the animals that he made. Verse 18, the high hills are a refuge for the wild goats and the rocks for the conies. He appointed the moon for seasons. The sun knoweth his going down. Thou makest darkness, and it is night, wherein all the beasts of the forest do creep forth. The young lions roar after their prey and seek their meat from God. The sun ariseth, they gather themselves together and lay them down in their dens. Verse 23 says, man goeth forth unto his work and to his labor until the evening. O Lord, how manifold are thy works. In wisdom hast thou made them all. The earth is full of thy riches. So is this great and wide sea, wherein are things creeping innumerable, both small and great beasts. There go the ships. There is that Leviathan whom thou hast made to play therein. These wait all upon thee, that thou mayest give them their meat in due season. That thou givest them, they gather. Thou openest thine hand, they are filled with good. Thou hidest thy face, they are troubled. Thou takest away their breath, they die and return to their dust. Thou sendest forth thy spirit, they are created, and thou renewest the face of the earth. The glory of the Lord shall endure forever. The Lord shall rejoice in his works. He looketh on the earth and it trembleth. He toucheth the hills and they smoke. I will sing unto the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. My meditation of him shall be sweet. I will be glad in the Lord. Psalm 139 verse 14 says, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. Listen, God's creation is incredible. How God made the human body and all the systems of the body is just amazing. We are marvelously made. God's creation is awesome. God's power is awesome. In our text verses that we read this morning back in Psalm chapter 33 and there in verse number 6 to 9, the Bible says this, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made. We read the account of it in Genesis 1:1. And God said, and it was so. God stepped out onto nothing and he created everything. He just stepped out into the middle of nothing and he created the universe and he made this earth and he made all the animals and all the plants and everything in it. I stand in awe of God's power. God's power is awesome. It says, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made and all the hosts of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathereth the waters of the sea together as an heap. He layeth up the depth in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. God's creation, God's power is awesome. God's power is incredible, and he wants us this morning to stand in awe of him. Why should we stand in awe of God? Three reasons. We should stand in awe of his word. His word is perfect and true. We should stand in awe of his works, because his works are always just and right and good. God does what is best. Number three, we should stand in awe of his great power. Stand in awe of his great power. Let me answer the question, how do we stand in awe of him? How do we stand in awe of him? From these verses in Psalm 33, I believe there are ways that we show God that we're truly standing in awe of him. Psalm 33 there, look at verse 8. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. First, I believe we must fear the Lord and keep his commandments. How do we stand in awe of him? Fear the Lord and keep his commandments. Praise and sacrifice is not acceptable to God unless it first comes from an obedient heart. God desires obedience more than he desires sacrifice. We see that in other places of Scripture. God's greatest commandment to us is really this. Well, we know it's love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. But if you read the Gospel of John and so on, he makes it very clear. If we love him, we will do what? We will keep his commandments. Ecclesiastes 13:1 says this. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. If we truly fear God, then we must love him and we must obey his word. How do we stand in awe of God? First, fear the Lord and keep his commandments. And secondly, I believe we must offer to him then the sacrifice of praise. Offer to God the sacrifice of praise. In Hebrews 13 and verse 15, the Bible says this, "Let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name." Let us offer to God the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. God wants to hear us praise Him. He likes that. You know what? Just as there was a moment where in a man's little ego, with that little, you know, flexing at the table and the kids all going wild, you know, that gives you a little feeling good inside. Hey, listen, there's a God who loves it when we praise Him. When we brag on His power, when we brag about His creation, when we praise Him for His goodness and His justice and His holiness and so on. God loves to be praised. He loves it. Are you praising Him? Listen, if a person only began to read the book of Psalms, they would soon learn that God desires our praise. All through the book of Psalms, you see how God wants us to praise Him. He desires the praises of His people. We're going to stand in awe of God by fearing Him and keeping His commandments, by offering Him the sacrifice of praise. I then ask this question, how do we praise God? How do we praise God? If we know that praising God is a way that we show Him we're standing in awe of Him, how can we praise Him? How can we praise Him? Let me give you three simple things out of this passage. God desires that we praise Him with music. God desires that we praise Him with music. If you look again in Psalm 33 and verse 2, He said this, "Praise the Lord with harp. Sing unto Him with the psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings. Sing unto Him a new song. Play skillfully with a loud noise." If you'll turn with me over to Psalm chapter 100. Psalm chapter 100. I want to read to you just a few psalms here. Psalm chapter 100. Let's look there at verse number 1. Psalm chapter 100 and verse number 1. The Bible says this, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people, and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him, and bless His name. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations." Listen, God wants us to praise Him with music. Turn back to Psalm 98 and verse number 1. Psalm 98, verse 1. "Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. For He hath done marvelous things. His right hand and His holy arm hath gotten Him the victory. The Lord hath made known His salvation. His righteousness hath He openly showed in the sight of the heathen. He hath remembered His mercy and His truth toward the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth hath seen the salvation of our God. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth. Make a loud noise and rejoice and sing praise." You might think, oh, I don't know if I'm... You sometimes might say, I want my kids to, you know, to learn an instrument. I want them to learn to play the piano, learn to play some instrument. And after a while, when you see how loud it is in your home, you might think, I'm not sure if I want them to learn anymore. Hey, no, God says, make a loud noise. Hey, you go ahead, let them keep on learning. There's times when it's loud, but you know what? God wants them to use that music to praise the Lord. Make a joyful noise. He says in verse 5, "Sing unto the Lord with the harp and with the harp and the voice of a psalm, with trumpets and the sound of a cornet." That's what BJ plays on Sunday nights, a cornet. "And make a joyful noise before the Lord the King. Let the sea roar and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. Let the floods clap their hands. Let the hills be joyful together before the Lord. For He cometh to judge the earth with righteousness, shall He judge the people and the people with equity." Look there at Psalm 95, Psalm 95 and verse 1. "Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto Him with psalms. The Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In His hands are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is His also. The sea is His, and He made it, and His hands formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker." Listen, even in these psalms we've read, can't you see that the reason why God wants us to praise Him and stand in awe of Him? Again, His power, His great works, the things that He's done. God wants to hear you praise Him. And I want to encourage you about something. Notice that when any time He talks about singing there, He doesn't say sing beautifully. He says sing and make a joyful noise. Some of you say, I can't sing, and You're right. I know some of you can't sing. But you know what? He's not concerned about that. To God, your voice is beautiful. And God made you special. And your voice is beautiful in the ears of God. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. That's all he desires. Sing unto him. Praise him. Praise him. There in Psalm chapter 96. Psalm 96 and verse 1. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord, all the earth. Sing unto the Lord, bless his name. Show forth his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the heathen, his wonders among all people. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Listen, God wants you to praise him. When you begin to praise him with music and praise him with song and praise him with singing, you are standing in awe of him. We are standing in awe of him. We're reminded often of why we ought to praise God and why we ought to stand in awe of him. God desires that you'd praise him with music. But the right kind of music is important too. In Psalm 40 and verse 3 it says, "And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God." Sometimes in those psalms we already read, he says, sing unto him a new song. Listen, there ought to be a new song in our heart when we get saved. There ought to be some new songs in your life if you're a believer, if you're a Christian. Some songs that glorify and honor the Lord God. Colossians 3:16 says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." We ought to sing a new song after we get saved. And we should be sure that the music in our homes and the music in our church and the music in our cars and the music that you sing in the shower and the music that it glorifies and honors the Lord. Let's sing unto him a new song. Let's praise him with music. Praise him with song. Praise him with singing. In your time of having private devotions, reading your Bible and spending time in prayer, I truly believe that God also desires that you would spend some time praising him with song. I have a binder now that I keep where I have several songs in there. I'm going to, at the coming of the new year, I'm going to give you a devotional booklet again that has several songs in it. I think that praise and music and song ought to be a part of your devotional life. That God, that you would praise him. Praise him in your prayer and praise him in your speech, but praise him with song. Praise him with song. In that quiet place, in that alone place where you sing a song and maybe that song is on your heart throughout the day and you sing that song over and over. Listen, let's praise him with song. Praise him with music. How should we praise God? Number one, God desires that we praise him with music. Praise him with music. Psalm 149 says, "Praise ye the Lord, sing unto the Lord a new song, in his praise in the congregation of the saints. Let them sing praise unto him, let the high praises of God be in their mouth." Psalm 150 says, "Praise ye the Lord, praise him for his mighty acts, praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet, praise him with the psaltery and harp." Next verse says, "Praise him with stringed instruments and organs." Listen, God loves music. We might sometimes think, well, I don't know if God cares much about music. No, God created music. The world has twisted it. The world has a kind of music that doesn't honor God. And some music many times that promotes rebellion and a lot of things. But God created music to begin with. And God loves music. God loves to hear you play an instrument. God loves to hear you sing praise unto him. Praise him with music. When we're standing in awe of God's word and God's works and God's power, we ought to praise him with music. In our text there in Psalm 33, verse 3, it said, "Sing unto him a new song. Play skillfully with a loud noise." I love to see our children learning the piano and learning instruments. Why? Because we can play skillfully with loud noises sometimes. But hey, we're to learn to play skillfully. We're to use music. We're to use song. We're to use instruments. The Bible goes on and on about it. And use those things to praise the Lord and to worship the God who made us. I encourage you to do that. How can we praise God? Number one, praise him with music. Praise him with music. And number two, God desires that we praise him from the heart. From the heart. What kind of a heart? A pure heart. An upright heart. In our text in Psalm 33 in verse 1, it said, "Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely for the upright." the upright, those who are upright in their heart. Praise is comely for the upright in heart. In other words, it is suitable. It is appropriate. Praise is comely. Praise is befitting. Praise is appropriate when it comes from a pure and upright heart. Praise that comes from a hypocritical, sinful, wicked heart is not pleasing to God, because God knows it's not genuine. God wants us to have an upright heart, a pure heart. In Psalm 32 and verse 11, it says, "Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart." You know what? Honestly, it'll be very difficult for the sinful heart to truly be glad in the Lord and to rejoice in the Lord. Why? Well, because our God is pure. Our God is holy. Our God is righteous. And it's hard for true and genuine praise to come from a heart that is filled with sinfulness or filled with iniquity. It's just not comely. It's just not befitting. It's just not appropriate. In Psalm 97, 11, and 12, it says, "Light is sown for the righteous, and gladness for the upright in heart. Rejoice in the Lord, ye righteous, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness." Listen, God desires praise from a pure and upright heart. God desires praise from a trusting heart. A trusting heart. God wants praise from a pure heart, an upright heart, and a trusting heart, a heart that trusts him. Look at Psalm 33 and verse 18. Psalm 33, verse 18. The Bible says this, "Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our hearts shall rejoice in him, because we have trusted in his holy name. Let thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us according as we hope in thee." Turn with me to Psalm 147. Psalm 147, I ask this question this morning. Do you truly have a heart that trusts God? Do you have a heart that trusts God? God wants your praise. There's no doubt about it. God would long for you to, in church, in the midst of the congregation, as there's several psalms that say that, he would love to just hear you sing. And to sing loudly and sing joyfully and sing praise that comes from your heart to him. God would love for you in your home, in a private place, to sing even in your devotion time and sing praises to your God and praise him for his greatness and his power and his works, for his word. But he wants it to come from a pure heart, an upright heart, and he wants it to come from a trusting heart. Does your heart truly trust in the Lord? In Psalm 147, and verse 1, it says this, "Praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God. For it is pleasant, and praise is comely." Again, it's fitting, it's appropriate. "The Lord doth build up Jerusalem. He gathereth together the outcasts of Israel. He healeth the broken in heart. He bindeth up their wounds." And I tell you something, that's what God has done for us if you've been saved. That's what he's done for us. "He telleth the number of the stars, and he calleth them all by their names. Great is our Lord, and of great power. His understanding is infinite. The Lord lifteth up the meek. He casteth the wicked down to the ground. Sing unto the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praise upon the harp unto our God, who covereth the heaven with clouds, who prepareth rain for the earth, who maketh grass to grow upon the mountains. He giveth to the beasts his food, and to the young ravens which cry. He delighteth not in the strength of the horse. He taketh not pleasure in the legs of a man. The Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear him, in those that hope in his mercy." Do you have a heart that truly trusts in God? Are you hoping in his mercy? You know something, we cannot be saved by our good works. So many times people are trying to appease God and work their way to heaven. But we cannot work our way into heaven. We cannot earn our way into heaven. We cannot buy our way into heaven. There is nothing, the Bible says, there's nothing we can do to redeem our own soul. Our only hope is in his mercy. We have no other hope for heaven except to trust in him. Are you trusting God alone for your salvation? Only you can answer that. Only you and God know what's in your heart. Are you trusting God alone for your salvation? Truly, salvation is of Him. God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross of Calvary to take the punishment and to pay the penalty for our sins. And we cannot be saved except we come to God in a very simple, childlike faith and say, I need You. I have no hope except for You. We cannot be saved except for trusting in God's Son, Jesus Christ. We must, in that simple faith, receive God's gift of salvation. Are you hoping in His mercy? Are you trusting on God alone for your salvation? Are you trusting in God for help? You know, God wants to be our helper. He wants to be our source of wisdom. He wants to provide our needs. God wants to answer our prayers. Are you truly looking to God for help? Or do we find our sufficiency in and of ourselves? God wants us to learn to rely on Him, and God wants us to learn to trust Him. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, many of you could quote it with me. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Are you letting God guide you and direct you in your life? Are you trusting God to be your help? Are you trusting Him? Are you trusting God for strength through the tough times in your life? You know what? Everybody goes through trials. Everybody in this room is either right now going through a trial, or maybe sometime this year, you will go through a trial. You'll face some burdens in your life. You'll have some problems and some struggles and things that you have to deal with. You may have some disappointments in your life, and you'll have a heavy burden to carry. Or you're carrying one today. Are you trusting God with that? Are you trusting God for strength, or are you carrying the burden on your own? Listen, God doesn't want us to face it alone. In 1 Peter 5, 7, He says, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. God does care about you, and He wants you to trust His will when you go through trials. He wants you to turn to Him for strength. He wants you to pass off the burden to Him and let Him carry it for you. Are you trusting God for strength through the tough times in your life? Are you trusting God to be your helper? Are you trusting on God alone for salvation? Are you hoping in His mercy? Do you have a heart that trusts Him? Conclusion this morning, we said this. Why should we stand in awe of God? We should stand in awe of His Word because it is perfect and it is true. We should stand in awe of His works because His works are always good. They're always upright. They're always just. His works are always good. We should stand in awe of His great power. His power. How do we stand in awe of Him? We must fear the Lord and keep His commandments. We must offer to Him the sacrifice of praise. How do we do that practically? How do we praise God? God desires that we praise Him with music. Praise Him with music. You know, God loves to hear you sing. I know we sang one of those middle songs we sang this morning with. Probably unfamiliar to a lot of you, but boy, you know a song in church. Hey, open up that song book and lift your voice and praise God in the congregation of the saints. You're at home and you can even be jumping on your bed and singing the song. One of the psalmists said, hey, you can be at home, you can be singing in the shower, you can be singing in the car. Listen, don't be ashamed. Lift your voice and sing praise to God. Glorify Him with music. Glorify Him with song in your life. Learn an instrument. Sing, 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 and sing praises to the God who created you and loves you. God desires praise then from our heart, a pure and upright heart, a trusting heart. In Psalm 33 and verse 8, it commands us, let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him. Are you doing that? Are you standing in awe of God? Are you standing in awe of God?